Good morning.
Grab your cup. Pull up a chair. There's always room at our table. Coffee Talk with Tess on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Well, I'm telling you, Ag Week. We've had Ag Week this week. I've enjoyed it so much. It's a whole week dedicated to ag. One of the things we haven't talked a lot about this week on purpose, because I was saving it for this guy, is our beef production. And that this guy over here knows a little bit something about that, right? So introduce yourself. Who are you?
Jamie Caraway.
And you own a farm here locally in Caldwell.
Yes.
And you have for how long?
I bought my first cow and calf when I was 13 years old, probably.
Was it a bottle calf?
No, it was a cow and calf.
Oh, okay.
I was going to sell them and buy a horse. And I sold the calf for about $350-something, and I never did buy the horse. I stayed with it.
The horse would have cost you the $350.
Yeah, exactly.
So this just happens to be my neighbor. And bless his heart, I love him to death and his whole family, my daddy and your family and everything. I mean, they all just kind of farmed around that area. And some of them were little hobby farms, but you went a little bigger.
I caught the right opportunities to expand along the way, and that's what we've done.
Well, and what do you do? Now, do you just graze out? Do you feed? I mean, how do you go about it?
Between what I've got and what my boys have along with me, we got about 90 mama cows of our own. And then I've got a partnership with my father-in-law and another guy on about another 80 cows right now. And we'll calve those cows out twice a year, spring and fall. And we'll background the calves, precondition those, and then sell them at a little bit of a premium, more than what they'd come bring right off the cow. Okay. And over the last year, me and my youngest son have started bringing in calves, about 4 weight calves, and keeping them 60, 90 days roughly. And
just finishing them out.
Not really finishing them out, but adding a little weight to them, then send them on as cut, preconditioned type calves. A little bit added value.
Explain preconditioned. What is that? Because I know a lot of folks go, well, what
basically,
in the world?
A lot of these calves come into the sale barns, haven't had any shots, haven't been cut, castrated, or anything like that. And we'll bring those calves in. Sometimes we cut them. Sometimes they come in that way. Give them shots. Get them healthy.
Make sure they're
ready to go somewhere else.
Well, and see, that's something, too. When you can do things like that, it really helps our area here in Western Kentucky.
Well, cattle are a good commodity to have right now on the farm. They're really high, and higher than I've ever seen them. And I hope they stay this way. there's a lot of external influences that can come into play that can mess things up real quick, I think. But I think the cattle numbers are lower now than what they've been in about 75 years or something like that.
Wow.
So there's a demand out there, I'd say.
And that's the thing, too, is that back in the day we used to get our little bottle calves. And my daddy, he used to love them bottle calves. So we'd go and get them sometimes you get them for $30 if you held your mouth right. And you get them home. And if you were really lucky, you might break even by the time you sold them. But, I mean, that was something that we did for years. And now, I mean, there's still bottle calves out there, don't get me wrong. But now the beef production's done a little bit different.
Well, there's a lot of dairies, these larger dairies especially, are putting beef bulls on a lot of their lower producing dairy cows.
Right.
So they're getting a beef dairy cross, and it's been going on for years, but it's more of a come to surface more now than what it has.
More mainstream than what it used to be. That's what was going on in the nook and the crannies, right? That's how you got something cheap to throw in the freezer.
Well, there's been a lot of bottle calves that was raised and went in somebody's freezer.
Yeah.
And I've done it myself. And
we have, you know, our thing was, you know what? You know where it's been. You know what it's been eating. You know the history of it. And that, for us, raising our own and having our own garden and going hunting and doing those things, that was huge. That was really important to my dad. And now I look back on it and I'm like, you know, oh, man, I was spoiled rotten.
Well, if you ever raise your own beef and eat it, there's a lot of difference between what you put in the freezer yourself and what you'll go buy at the grocery store. To me, it's a whole lot better.
Yeah, well, and we have a lot of local producers that'll sell you half a cow or whatever.
I have done that in the past, but it's the price of beef right now has got to where a lot of the people who were wanting to buy freezer beefs have backed off just because of the cost associated with it.
Well, and it's not as easy to go get it, you know, taken to the butcher as it used to be either, does it?
Some places you've got to really schedule several months out to ever get a calf slaughtered and processed.
Everything's just so different. And, of course, talking to UK and Shane Bogle and different ones recently about forage, I mean, when it comes to feeding, you get, that's a whole nother ballgame because you actually raise your own hay.
You're right.
And so when you start cutting your own hay, that takes up half your time right there.
From spring to summer, it's a seems like a never-ending process.
Right.
To get all the hay put.
And the variables that go into hay, I mean, well, will it rain, won't it rain? Do we have too much rain? And, oh, by the way, we don't want it to rain when we cut it. Then we got. I mean, it's crazy.
I haven't checked on it lately, but fertilizer could be the issue this year with the Iran shipping deal going.
Are we still liming?
Yes, yes. Okay. You need to lime your ground every so many years.
Right. So I mean, but there's old practices that we just don't do anymore, right?
There's a lot of these older practices that the old timers knew that we've kind of got away from, and there's probably a lot of value to be gleaned out of the experiences that they've gained over the years.
Right. Well, and I mean, they used to turn the ground under, and then some of them would burn off the fields. And I mean, there was all kinds of reasons why they did that. Of course, I guess sometimes some of the nutrients that they add that we add now, they might not have been able to get their hands on.
Well, you don't see a lot of plows on the farms anymore. My son grows tobacco, and he uses a plow every year, my youngest son. So
that's the hardest crop in the world, I swear. Is it Colin that's doing that?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what. I talk about your son. He has no idea, but I talk about him all the time. And the reason why, I said, that kid can turn the tractor around on a dime.
Whenever he was probably about 3 or 4, I got my first cab tractor. I'd always had an open cab. And he started riding with me on the cab tractor and falling asleep in the seat, you know, beside me in a pillow. So the older son, I guess he was luckier. Because I didn't have a cab tractor, I didn't let him ride on the tractor as much as me.
I used to sit on the gas tank of we had an old International that had the perfect gas, this little gas tank there that I could sit on, and that's where I sat. I mean, my dad was so surprised when Colin said, "Can I drive that old Ford?" I think he could out-tractor all of us.
He's always liked the tractors and heavy equipment. That's what he does now, is the heavy equipment and the he's got his own tractors now, so.
Is he going to follow in Dad's footsteps?
I think he would like to see us expand in the cattle business.
Okay.
It's just harder to do now.
Yeah.
That's primarily why we started doing the stocker calves, because you can take a little less ground and run the calves on that versus a cow-calf operation.
I'm telling you, land is something they're not making more of, so that's hard to get a hold of.
It's getting really scarce, seems like.
Well, and fencing supplies and everything else, I mean, that raises the cost. If I know everybody is like, "Oh, well, I can't afford hamburger meat." Well, I'll tell you, there was a lot that went into that hamburger meat that most people don't see.
Fencing is an awful expensive pastime anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at a roll of barbed wire being $40-something. The good woven wire, I think you're looking around $300 a row for woven wire. Mm-hmm. And I think I bought some wood post here the other day, $20 a piece.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of expenses associated with farming right now.
Well, that's just part of your expense, because you still got to keep them healthy. Now that you've got them, you know, a fence around there, now that you've got some hay to feed them, well, by the way, there's still grain, and you got to keep them healthy, and you got to keep them from killing each other.
The bulls do like to fight.
Right.
And we'll put the bulls up twice a year and try to put them in a lot away from the cows, so we'll synchronize calving.
You got to worry about pink eye and everything else all the time. Good hot summer, that usually does that for pink eye, doesn't it?
Well, I've been using a mineral that's got IGR in it to help control flies and garlic. And some places we have these Easy Way mineral feeders, which have rubs on them, where that helps control the flies as well.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I want people to understand that there is some risk that you take going out there with.
Oh, you put a calf in the bed of a pickup truck. I've had cows climb up in the bed with me when I had the calf in there. And there's not enough room for three of you in there at one time.
I can imagine. And, you know, that's usually when they want to stand in the worst spot, or they found a creek that they want to be in to calve, and you got to go out and get them.
I know last year my wife and youngest son, they had a cow got in a pond, was calving. And they had to get out there and pull the calf in the pond, and had to get her out of the pond. So she swelled up, wouldn't come out. So
that's about the way most of that works, usually at about 2 a.m. I appreciate you coming in, because I said I think we need to spotlight our local farmers more often, and let people know that, you know, when we talk about that ag is alive and well in Caldwell, that there's more than just, you know, the big croppers. There's livestock farms and stuff all over the place.
You're seeing more sheep out here now, too.
Yeah.
A lot of people getting in the sheep business.
You don't do that?
No. My grandfather had goats years ago, and that's close enough to a sheep.
We did. And I will tell you, they would get out every five. There's no way.
I don't think there's a fence made to hold a goat, hardly.
There is not. But they do clean things up pretty good.
Yes.
There's some. I have seen some sheep around, but I didn't know that those were becoming that much more popular.
I know when I was a kid, you saw a lot of little dairies, a lot of hogs.
Yeah.
Everybody had chickens, and now then you see cattle and some sheep, and that's pretty well it.
You don't see many hogs anymore, do you?
No.
Well, they're kind of a mess, I guess, but I don't know. I don't see many people having them. It used to. I mean, we did when I was little, but my dad got out of them, you know, before I was too old.
Yeah, they just left the county. I don't guess there's enough profit in them for right? small producers.
Well, and I think a lot of times the grain and the price of feed and everything else has a lot to do with that.
There's a lot of startup costs associated getting in the hog business, too.
Well, and Cattlemen's was really good. One of the things I loved about the Cattlemen's Association was, what was it, a couple of years ago, they started giving grants to the kids, and it was a youth grant. And that really kind of got them their start.
The CAPE program.
Yeah.
For a lot of kids that showed cattle, it helped with that, and if they had a project, it would help with that. I think they'd give $10,000 and disperse it amongst the kids that applied for it.
Yeah.
And some of them wouldn't ever use all their allotted amount, so then you could come back, and the ones that needed more, you could give them a little bit more.
Well, and that helped a lot, because sometimes you just need a little seed money. You need something that maybe the posts are there, but you're going to need a little extra fencing, or maybe you need a little help buying the calf.
I kind of got more of a kick out of helping the kids than I did the adults on out of the deal. I thought the kid needed more of a start than an adult did.
Well, I mean, you're helping somebody that could be a farmer later on, because, you know, you helped them out.
Everybody needs a start sometimes.
Right? Just kind of a little help.
A little push or something like that.
And of course, we've got a strong Cattlemen's Association.
Yes, yes. Caldwell and Lyon County are merged together, and they've really tried to promote the beef in this area, I think.
Yeah. I think they did a good job of it. I think the CAPE program, I thought, went really well. And I don't know, it just helps us kind of, when some of us are starting to get old, that younger generation kind of helps them.
We was very fortunate to have the CAPE
in
the area, and the Cattlemen Association was good enough to step up to administer the program for a period of time. And it's every other year program.
Yeah.
I think the way you do that, the reason they did that is kind of help spread the wealth amongst several people. You know, more people get it that way.
Well, and we've always had one of these mentalities in this area, especially in Caldwell. A lot of our farmers, and especially I think some of our smaller farmers too, of helping each other. And I think that's still going on.
It's still out there. If you need a hand, you'd call your neighbor to help him, you know, help you get a cow up or something like that, or go work cattle. It's out there.
Well, and that's, I mean, I think we learn a lot from the old timers too, if we just listen to them every once in a while. And you've always been amazing about that, and been really sweet about that. And you, this guy, I'm going to tattle on him a little bit. He's the first one that'll clear a road or a street or something during the winter if it's needed, or helping somebody out. And that's just kind of the way you've always been.
Well, most time it's my youngest son that hop on the tractor and the greater blade.
Mr. Tractor.
And most time he's the one that's ready to jump on the tractor and head out and clear the road. So.
Well, you tell Colin we said thank you.
All right.
And he's awfully good at it, too. So if you want more information about how to farm or how to go about it, or maybe what in the world, I'd love to be a cattle farmer, but I don't have the first place to even think about. They can get a hold of you through the extension office or anything like that, right?
Sure. I'll give anybody a pointer. There's a lot of knowledge learned from bad mistakes, and, you know, everybody's made a few.
Yeah. I think you do learn. I mean, sometimes I know that sounds bad, but the mistakes are the best teachers in the world, right?
I believe so, and you hope you don't make a whole lot of them along the way, but you're gonna make some.
Well, I appreciate you coming in today, because I think it's important to spotlight some of our farmers in the area, and you're one there on the north end that we think a lot of. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.